Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And we're back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm still here.
You're still here? Still kicking it? We've got RG with us here.
He's talking.
He wants to be on the air with us tonight.
Doesn't he sound adorable?
He does.
He's the next big
Hopefully he won't start crying. That won't be so adorable anymore.
Well.
Yeah, but, you know.
I'll just take him to the other room.
Like you said, he's been quiet all night, so it's about time for him to get fussy. So we've had a pretty interesting weekend. We went to Williamsburg.
That was nice. We got our Captain George fix.
Yeah, we had all the crabs, literally. There are no crabs left in the ocean. We probably ate them all. And we ate all the butter in the world.
Oh, yeah. No, we just... We had a butter soup with crabs.
God, it was so good. It was so good. Angie had an interesting story about the bill while I was gone with RJ. Why don't you let him know what happened?
Yeah. Well, so I knew it was going to be expensive, and I don't like for you to see that, you know.
Well, actually, I said, don't let me look at the bill because I'll probably just ruin my day if I see it.
Well, I knew anyway. Mm-hmm. So he took RJ for a little walk around the restaurant, and I said, you might want to go ahead and bring the bill now. So she brought it, and I knew he was close to coming back. He had already come back once, and I said, I just asked for the bill. So he walked away again. And when she brought it back, I didn't even, like, look at it because I was like, you know, I know what it's going to be. We've been there before. So I just handed her the card and sent her back on her way. Well, when she comes back and brings me the folio, like, I open it up, and it said it was $170. 170.
Yeah, I probably would have shit my pants, literally.
I almost
would have been like
did.
RJ shit my pants.
I made the look on my face must have been pretty priceless, because the lady at the table next to us kind of looked at me oddly and started laughing. And I, you know, looked for our waitress and called her back to the table. I was like, how much is the bill? You know, it's the buffet. And she's like, it's 34, whatever, and some change a person. And I was like, yeah, the Cokes must be $50 a piece then.
Next time we're ordering water for our drinks.
I don't think this is right. Luckily, she fixed it, but you need to remember to check your account. They said it was going to take 2 days to put the money back in it.
All the money we spent this weekend.
Yeah, well,
but
it was worth
it.
I got a candy apple.
Yeah, well, that made that. And we got to see Santa Claus, so that was fun.
Oh, RJ got his picture with Summer Claus.
I can't believe it was about me.
Kimmy in the background.
She was at the beach.
She was
her.
At the beach.
I'd rather go see Summer Claus. I'm glad we called it.
Enjoying it. Enjoying time at the beach.
The beach was in the fun.
Yes, because we weren't there. God.
Exactly. And there wasn't a pool. So people I can hang out with.
So now we'll do another show about Kimmy's time at the beach on another occasion.
Sorry me.
But right now we got some business to take care of before we put our guests on the show. Let's see. Angie and I will be at Edgewood Plantation on Friday.
Big shout out to my friend Katie.
Woo! Thanks for watching RJ.
The boy.
We'll be hanging out with Tabitha and Dennis and Vicky and whoever else decides to come down there with us. And September 15th, we've got the double investigation at Hanover Tavern in Scotchtown, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
You definitely don't want to miss that. September 29th, we've got the world's largest ghost hunt at the Cabin on 360.
RJ's saying, come on out, guys.
Come on out and join us.
Come on.
The world's largest ghost hunt. It's going to be a lot of fun. We look for ghosts and hang out at the cabin, which we haven't had an investigation at the cabin. Well, a public investigation at the cabin, anyways, for a while. So I'm looking forward to that. And then at the end of October, we'll be hanging out with our friends at Transcend again at Henricus Park for the Halloween Bump event.
Yay!
Which we had to miss last year because my dad had to turn 70.
God.
I know, right?
What a party. God.
I know.
Why do people have to grow?
I know.
That's
why we're not letting him grow up.
Nope.
Your dad's not going to
be. He can't be a Toys R Us kid anymore. So, I've got some sad news.
Not surprised.
I hate to bring down the show, but Charlotte Ray passed away.
Oh, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both. From the facts of life.
Yeah.
Oh.
She passed away of a stroke. She was also Mrs. Cackle, and her twin sister Aggie, who Angie tried to dress up as last year, which
you know what I like
her
my
hair
purple. Hair. I like my purple hair.
So I want to give a shout out to Charlotte Ray. You know, she grew up on her. You know,
yeah.
Facts of Life. She was on Different Strokes. Of course, she was in The Worst Witch. That's pretty much all I remember her in. But still, I mean, she made like such an impression on it because, you know, grew up with her. So honestly, I thought she died a while ago.
Really?
Well, I mean, I knew she was still alive, but it was those people like Kirk Russell. Kirk Douglas. He's still alive. Is he still alive?
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, shout out to
to her family.
To her family.
We could shout how loud we wanted.
I mean, she already hears us now. She's up in heaven right now.
We could maybe try to communicate with her.
No.
Do a seance.
Could put on some
or something.
Back to life.
I will
music.
Literally kick you both out.
Ooh, that's not cool.
I do not care.
All right. Well.
Told Dad to say it.
So, Transcend on the show tonight, and
two awesome people.
You know, my first time investigating with Transcend was back in November 2013 at Hanover Tavern.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
What?
I wasn't there.
I know.
That
I said
my first. I know.
I remember I was teamed up with John and Lynn Harris, so that was, and we got some pretty good evidence. Out there. And actually, my first time on the radio was with Steve. We're on Full Spectrum Radio.
Ooh.
I was a guest with Howie Odell, and we were on there with Dennis and Matt talking about our investigation on it, Bell Nevis Plantation. Steve came up with the name The Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Freaking awesome.
And he was actually on the very first show. He was one of the original hosts.
Oh, really?
Show, yeah.
Then y'all parted ways?
We parted ways. He big timed us.
Got rid of a good
off.
One.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? I'll time for you fools. I'm out of here. I'm out.
Here you go.
I'm out.
I'm going home.
I'm out. And Tiffany and I are currently working on Ghost Hunting the Musical. So... It's gonna be a thing.
Excitingly awaiting that premiere.
It's going to be a thing. We just got to work on the choreography and stuff.
Oh, no.
You know? So. But without further ado, let us put on Tiffany and Steven K. Dills from Transcend Paranormal. There it is. All right. I think that's right. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there.
I'm doing fine. Hello.
Is this a Steve and a Tiffany?
Hello.
We have the whole crew on tonight, apparently. We have Kimmy on, talking about the beach, and RJ's over here. Well, he's got his pacifier in right now, so he's just incapacitated.
He's like, haha, so you
can't. And we got Angie on the couch with us.
We're having a good old time.
Hell yeah.
Oh. How are you guys this evening?
Doing great. Just chilling.
Yay.
It's a Monday.
Monday.
Yes.
This is the best thing about Monday. Best thing about Monday is the freaking awesome paranormal show.
You got to make Monday fun.
Right.
Making Monday's fun again.
Monday the fun day.
Yeah.
Monday the freaking fun day.
Hell yeah. So what you guys got going on?
Hi, Steve.
Everything.
Yes.
So I can give you a rundown of our upcoming events if you'd like.
Let's do that. That's...
Skipping the events first, but one of our recent investigations was very exciting. We actually were invited to come up and investigate the Hanover Arts and Activity Center in Ashland, Virginia. And that's a pretty cool place because it was a church way back in the day for about 100 plus years. And then during the Civil War, it was utilized as a Civil War hospital. So they had asked us to come in and check out and investigate the place. So let's see, I guess a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, we got to go in there for our first time and investigate and got some pretty cool stuff, especially for investigating for the first time at a location. A lot of times we see, going into a spot, whether it be a building or, a structure or whatever, we generally don't find too much right off the bat, especially if folks have not investigated there before. And to our knowledge, nobody has ever been in there to investigate. But we got some really cool, I guess, EVPs and some really interesting activity that we're going to follow up with. But I bring that up because early next year, in 2019, we're actually going to be pairing up with Hanover Tavern and the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, and we're going to be doing another joint investigation that obviously you guys will have to come with us on. So that'll be our second. We're kind of doing a tour here of pairing up with locations between Hanover Tavern and other places. So that'll be a really cool spot to check out and investigate. But even sooner, we actually have our Haunted Hanover Tavern tours, which is at Hanover Tavern. And I know you have been on those and have helped out quite a bit. And this one's kind of unique because normally we have them on a Wednesday night. So it's kind of, you know, sometimes hard for folks to get to at the tavern. But this one is on a Sunday on August 19th. From what I have heard, we do two 45-minute tours. The first starting at 7 o'clock, which is already sold out. And the second starts at 8 p.m. I think there's still a handful of tickets left, so highly suggest. If you're interested in hearing about the Hanover Tavern, its history, some of the experiences that we have had there, Ryan has had there, and, you know, a bunch of other folks, that is a really fun tour to go on. We also encourage folks to bring their equipment, anything they can carry, because we have had people report, you know, some activity. We've had folks say that they've, you know, felt being touched, gotten a few EVPs out of it, and just some really cool stuff coming out of just touring the building for 45 minutes. So,
yeah, it's definitely worth going in there to check out.
Yeah, it's fun. We also have the joint paranormal investigation that Crop is going to be helping us on. Between Scotchtown and Hanover Tavern, which is September 15th. That is going to be pretty intense, I think. This is the first time that we've ever done a two-location investigation like this. And we're going to be starting, I want to say, at 7 p.m. and going until 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning. What's really interesting and neat about this location is both of these buildings, Scotchtown and Hanover Tavern, are tied to Patrick Henry and his family and his wife's family. So it'll be fun. You know, it'll be a really unique experience to be able to investigate both of these locations that have such strong ties to the same people. In one evening. So, and that's something that you guys are going to be helping us with. So,
yeah, it's going to be a great, I mean, it's a great opportunity for those of you who are listening now or even, you know, on demand. If you get a chance to get on this, go to this investigation, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's a once in a lifetime thing or not, just in case, you better get tickets because, you know, you don't know if this opportunity will happen again. So if you're thinking about it or if you're not sure, go ahead and grab tickets now because, you know, we don't know if it's going to happen again or not.
I'm really excited.
It's going to be, right? It's going to be super fun. I'm just two locations in one night. I mean, where else can you get something like this?
I mean, not many places, that's for sure.
Right.
It'll be cool. It'll definitely be cool. Just, you know, I love the history side of things. So, you know, having the Shelton family and, you know, Patrick Henry, both being tied to Hanover Tavern and the courthouse and the Old Stone Jail, which we'll be investigating all three of those at the tavern. And then moving over to, well, we're going to start at Scotchtown, but then at Scotchtown having the old kitchen house, the main building, and one of the other offset buildings. you know, all six of these locations were integral parts of their lives. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes of that. I know that, you know, for those that, you know, haven't heard or, you know, really looked into the history of Scotchtown, but one of the big things and I guess kind of one of the darker pieces of history from that building in particular is the fact that Sarah, Patrick Henry's wife, actually ended up spending the last of her life in the basement. She had, well, what I think most historians believe was postpartum depression, and it got pretty severe. And so instead of sending her off to a mental institution, because they were not very good at the time, they opted to keep her in the house. So she lived in the basement, and when I say basement, it wasn't, you know, a super creepy dungeon type of deal. It had a window, you know, it was nicely done up and everything, but that's where she spent the last of her days. And on, I guess, two investigations now, we've gotten some very, very interesting results from that room and the other rooms in the basement in particular. Just, you know, we've had some folks that were kind of overtaken by feelings that weren't their own of sadness and grief. We've also recorded the sound of footsteps walking on the floor above us when nobody else was in the building because it was locked, as well as, like, on command, you know, requesting that certain activities be performed and then having those, whether it be a flashlight turn on, a Mel meter going off, EMF detector going off, you know, you name it, we've had it done with something intelligent that's there. It'll definitely be quite an interesting investigation.
That's for sure. I mean, I know when I got a chance to go out there with you guys last spring, it was pretty amazing investigation out there.
It was. Our team rocked, though, because it was me, you, Vicky, my husband, and Susan. And we had some pretty cool things happen to us.
Yeah. So let's. How did you guys get interested? You guys get interested in the paranormal?
Well, for me, I had something happen younger as a kid that I couldn't quite explain. You know, it was a lot of, I guess, your typical. What almost, you know, folks would consider, I guess, poltergeist activity. So waking up a lot to hearing somebody calling my name in my ear. I would hear the piano that we had in our house being played, you know, late in the evening, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And obviously nobody's going to be sitting downstairs playing the piano. Lots of conversations, doors opening and closing, things being thrown at me, those sorts of, you know, fun things. So that kind of spurred my interest in the paranormal to the point that I ended up joining the Richmond Paranormal Society, which is where Transcend kind of starts its history. So I will let you go now, Tiffany.
So I'll make my long story super short, but my first experience happened when I was really young, too, and I think it all started at 3 years old. I found my grandfather dead, and then a couple years later, I remember this just like it happened yesterday. So this is like 21 years ago, like in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and see the full apparition of my grandfather with the hat he always wore, and his magnifying glass that he used to read the newspaper walking down the hallway. And I just remember screaming for my mom. And, you know, I grew up in haunted houses. And, you know, I think that's really what sparked it was just, you know, like Steve, that experience as a young child. And, I mean, that's something that you don't forget. You just want to find out why.
Yeah, that kind of thing would stick with you, that's for sure. You know, if you see something like that, it's going to, wow, it probably definitely scar you for sure. So how did Transcend get started?
So that's why I stopped, because I didn't want to droll on for another 20 minutes. But we actually started probably in 2008. I guess unofficially, almost. Somewhere around 2008, 2009, I joined the Richmond Paranormal Society. And that's a really, you know, quite a large group of folks in and around, you know, the Richmond area that are interested in the paranormal in one capacity or another, whether it's, you know, investigating or hearing about stories, just talking to other people that are interested. It's a really good group to join and meet a lot of like-minded folks. And back in that time, we were trying to organize a few investigations and get to some of these places that you might not be able to go to on a normal basis, unorganized, right? So one of those first few places was the Bird Theater. We also went to a plantation. I can't remember where it was, but through doing all of that work, I actually met some of our founding kind of members, Dorothy and Rhonda. I think that's about it from the original crew. So I met those two, and we decided that, you know, doing kind of these really large investigations was kind of hindering some of the scientific aspect behind it. Contamination, there's a lot of contamination. You know, you never knew who exactly was going to be showing up to the investigation. So you never knew, you know, who you were depending on that evening, what experience they had, what equipment they had, and, you know, just all of that. Just very difficult to work with, you know, just a large array of folks. It was fun, but it was just hard from the scientific side of things. So we decided
it's hard to be taken seriously.
Our own, yeah, you know, it's just
yeah.
Everybody was wonderful. You know, I had a blast doing it. But it was just, you know, it was very difficult to get. Let's say the Bird Theater, for example, one of those first locations that we investigated. We could only bring like 15, 20 people with us. Which was a lot for the Bird Theater, but, you know, there was 50, 60, 70 people that were interested in coming and attending. So it really, you know, it kind of stunk that a lot of people didn't get that opportunity to come in and investigate. And those that did were kind of just, you know, luckily quick draw, you know, at their computer, at their desk, whatever, right mm-hmm. when it was posted. So we wanted to do something that was a little bit more inclusive to our, you know, our folks, our team, and really, I guess, build a relationship with the team, knowing what equipment we had, you know, starting some funding so that we could get some new equipment, building out that relationship of understanding how each and every one of us investigates, and how well we can work off of one another and really understand what is the activity that is going on in a location. So that's how we kind of formed our first initial group. We did that for a little bit and then decided we really wanted to, I don't know, just stand out, you know what I mean? Kind of make mm-hmm. a name and really partner up with a lot of locations and help them out. Because one of the things, you know, it really started off as an interest in the paranormal and then kind of grew into an interest in a lot of these historical sites and the importance that they have on the community around them. And so around 2010 is when we formed Transcend Paranormal. And that's when we started actively kind of trying to get some more members and kind of, you know, bolstered the team up. That's when we started pairing up with some of our historical sites, Henricus Historical Park being one of the first, Graffiti House, and a number of others. And those, I guess, initial relationships and contacts with those locations really, I guess, sparked, you know, a fire almost of wanting to help out and be a part of those historical locations. So, you know, volunteering, fundraising, just, you know, doing what we could to help out and making sure that those locations are, you know, obviously we get to go and investigate, and that's great, but being having those locations being around for generations to come. And that's really kind of the biggest important piece is understanding the history there, maybe trying to bring a little bit of that history back from, you know, some of the spirits that we're interacting with, finding out kind of some cool, I guess, pieces of history that have almost been lost in time. Because in one form or fashion, it went from, you know, actually occurring to, well, did that happen? And so kind of bringing that back to light and bringing that back into almost, you know, the living history of that location. So that's kind of where we started and where we are now. You know, just working with a lot of these historical sites. We do a lot of, you know, investigating, and we partner up with these locations and help them with fundraising. We do public investigations and ghost tours and, you know, all those sorts of things. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone loves a good ghost tour. That's the thing. That's the thing about the paranormal, you know. Everyone is interested in it, you know. There are a lot of people who love to come out just to hear the ghost stories from locations and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, it really brings a different clientele almost, you know. A lot of people, I guess when I was a lot younger, I didn't really have a whole lot of interest in historical locations. I was just like, okay, that's an old house, whatever. Let me go back to, you know, my Nintendo. But growing up, it's very interesting because a lot of these places, you know, they need help. They need people that are passionate and interested in them, in the location and the people that work there and how they're interpreting the history of that location. You know, it's all very important. So it's really it's a lot of fun to work with these places and the people that are so passionate about those locations and bringing in folks that might not find it, I guess, interesting in the beginning, but then finding out that, hey, you know, this is actually a really cool place. It's a lot of fun to be at. So that's the fun part about this.
That's what always amazes me when – sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say.
Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I let you go this time.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You positive?
Third time's a charm.
No, I was just going to say, I feel like with the ghost shows being more, I guess, prominent on the TV now, there's more people like, okay, well, let's see what this is all about. So I think a lot of them are expecting that whole, but then they get started and they're like, oh, there's more to it than just being scared. There's a whole like mess of things that the people are actually like interested in, you know, see like the hard work that these groups really put in. And, you know, then they get really interested in the history of the place rather than just the paranormal aspect of it. Because, I mean, I have to say, like, I've lived in Virginia all my life, and I think both of you guys have too. But if you really think about it, just our state in general is such a historic state. There's so much stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that there's not more, like, I don't know, ghost shows that take place here in Virginia. I think Ghost Hunters went to Edgewood at one time, but even then they didn't really show much on their show. And we all know Edgewood is haunted, you know, has way more evidence than what they captured. Maybe it was just an off night for them or whatever, but there are so many different locations I think it's Dead Fouls was at St. Albans.
Yeah.
I guess Tennessee Wraith Chasers was out there too. But, I mean, with all the plantations, the thing is that what surprises me is, like, how many places don't want to admit there's paranormal activity in them, or they don't want people talking about it because they think it takes away from the historical aspect of it. I think it's the exact opposite of that. I think, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's still a little bit, almost a little bit of a stigma, I guess, surrounding the paranormal. And because for a lot of folks, it's almost kind of, unscientific in some form or fashion. And I think that's one thing that we're very, focused and interested in is the scientific piece behind it. We want to learn the story of whatever spirits or entities are at a location, 100%. We want to interact with whatever is there, just like, it's somebody that sat on down in your living room to chat. But I think it's another thing entirely to really understand what is going on during some sort of paranormal activity, whether it's an EMF spike or, and even EMF, you can break that down. Is it static electricity? Is it some sort of magnetism? Is it some, there's just so many pieces and parts to understand. And then what's even harder is it can't be replicated in a laboratory setting. So really trying to get that data behind what exactly is happening in the environment during some sort of paranormal activity. That's important too, really understanding what is going on while something is occurring.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you can't replicate it. So any kind of evidence we can get to back up what we're saying is going on is paramount, to people actually taking it seriously, Because we know what we get. We know the conditions that we're in to get the evidence we've got. But the people we show the evidence to, they're not there. So they don't know what the conditions were. I know we get EVP. I know I didn't say that. You knew I didn't say that. And,
Well, I think you bring up a good point of, who are you really investigating for? I kind of go at the notion that there are just people that, for one reason or another, they will not believe it, regardless of if it happens right when they're there, or if you show them some sort of piece of evidence, And I definitely being somebody, having some skeptical viewpoints is actually just equally as important because it really drives home the point of if you are going to a location, making sure you're not contaminating your findings, making sure you document them properly because, I can't show to you that when I set my recorder down in the middle of the floor, nobody went up to it and whispered into it. Using a DVR and setting up cameras so that all of your equipment is on camera to show that nobody is messing with it. Things like that it's really nice to have almost that skeptic approach because it drives almost in parallel the necessity for a scientific approach to investigating as well.
But going into it, you need people to trust you at the same time, because if you decide you happen not to get a recorder on camera or something, you pick up a great EVP. Now you want people to take a leap of faith with you and say, hey, I trust this guy, I trust this team, that whatever they tell me if they got something, they tell me they got something, then. I tend to believe them because I know they won't lie to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you definitely have to approach things with, I guess, a sense of professionalism. Yes, you know, we have fun. We have a lot of fun investigating. We have an absolute blast. But we're very professional about it. You know, the way that we go about working with our clients and our historical sites, we, you know, we tell them up front. We like to have fun. But anything that we're going to be bringing to you, you know, this is actual findings. A lot of times we'll bring them along with us on those first investigations so that they can get comfortable with us at their location, because they are opening it up, you know, to us to just go in and essentially do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So there definitely is a relationship and a layer of trust that needs to be built with these locations and with the folks that you hang out with and the people that kind of follow your team. You know, that's equally as important, because it's fun to be around people. And those folks that like to hear about everything that you're doing and come and be a part of it, it really helps with the experience. It really kind of pushes you along, especially when you're up at 3 a.m. in the morning walking around a building in the dark and you can't see.
you got to make it fun, you know? I mean, we're sitting around in the dark. Like I said, 3 o'clock in the morning, doing EVP sessions in a group of people, you know, you've got to have some, you know, levity there, because otherwise either...
Well past bedtime.
Yeah, you probably fall asleep fast, so, you know, when the investigations, you guys are at the cabin, at Hanover Tavern, it's lighthearted, you know, but we take it, you know, we take it seriously.
Yeah, for sure. So I did have a good friend of ours, Sherry and Rob, shout out to you guys. They asked, what's been your favorite place to investigate? So I'm going to throw it over to Tiffany first.
So let's see, my favorite place to investigate is. So I guess I'm going to be cliche here, and Steve's going to laugh at me, but I do like Hanover Tavern. Like, every time we go, there's something new that happens. You know, just recently we opened up the smokehouse, and it was immediately, we go in there and we get an EVP as soon as we, like, walk in. So there's always something, and, like, I went and saw a play there, and literally sitting there watching the play, I see something out the corner of my eye, and I thought it was just, like, people standing there, the ushers, and no, it was just, like, a black mass. So, you know, there's always something going on there. So I think that's my favorite place. Steve?
I have a lot of favorite places. but... You know, I think each location is unique. I think each location has spirits or entities that are almost, you know, I mean, they were once people, most of them at least. And they, you know, each have personalities and just the way that they interact, you know. I think one of my most interesting places that I've ever investigated, hands down, actually, it's a tie between Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee, and that's actually way back in the day. This is way back when the Tennessee Wraith Chasers were actually just starting out, and so we used to go down there with a number of folks, and we would hang out with them. And whenever we went down for an investigation, they'd come and hang out and investigate with us. So that was a blast, because they're a fun group to investigate with. Lots and lots and lots of activity there. Unfortunately, I think it's closed down, at least right now, so that's a bummer. St. Albans Sanatorium, because you can literally get lost in that building and never find another person for like a good 2 hours. So kind of scary, but also fun.
Very true.
At the same time. and then, you know, the places around here, you know, Henricus. I love Henricus. I love the tavern. You know, our, the two new locations, Scotchtown and the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, are both amazing. You know, they all almost have the same kind of feel and energy and vibe. I don't think we've run into anything too terribly negative at any of those locations. Well, nothing negative. Maybe some things that are kind of upset or annoyed, but, you know, they're just great places to investigate. We always seem to go in there and walk out with some form of evidence. They're great training locations. So we actually bring, you know, if we have a new person to our team, we'll generally go to the tavern or we'll go to Henricus, to investigate, kind of get folks, I guess, understanding and
acclimated.
I guess go through the motions of acclimated to the way that we investigate. You know, we do some things different than teams and some things the same as other teams. I do have two of my other team members, Vicky and Rhonda, that are reporting in that their favorite places are Henricus Historical Park. I'm sure John will also agree that Henricus is one of their favorite locations because, and it does make sense. Henricus is a very cool spot to investigate because not only do you have the history, like the historical portion, the whole fort, you have indoors in the fort, which is active. You've got outdoors, and on the bluff, and you know, the entire property is active. Whether you're in kind of a building that has no electricity, out in the open in the woods, or in one of the, you know, the administrative building, which is, you know, it's new and it's still active, you know. So it's really cool to have kind of all three of the, I guess, locations that you might have to deal with on an investigation. It's a fun place to hang out and investigate.
Plus it's 400 years of history, you know.
Absolutely.
Investigating, you know. I mean, that's one of my favorite places.
It's certainly a lot.
So, have you ever been scared during an investigation?
Oh, my God, yes.
You're scared of everything.
Think, no, that's Rhonda. She scares more easily than I do. Actually, and now that I think about it, some of my other favorite places, I've lived in there once. Was the USS North Carolina. So the reason I'm mentioning that one is because that was like one of my first big places that I went investigation besides for privates. But I remember we were cleaning up. It was an active night on the ship. So it was insane. But we went down, somebody left their like flashlight downstairs. So me and another team member went down to go get it. And we're, you know, everybody's upstairs and we're walking back and you just hear banging on the side of like the walls. And it's like chasing you. And we're in the middle of the ship. So I know it's not anything like on the outside, like banging, but it's like literally like banging on the walls. And I left my team member in the dark in the back while I'm like hurtling through the holes. It was hilarious, but like, I'm not a smoker, but as soon as I ran out of that ship, I was like, I need a cigarette. That's the, like, scaredest I've ever been.
That's got to be tough running through a ship like that.
Oh, my gosh, Jesus. Yes. And I wasn't a small little thing then, so I'm, like, hurtling through. And y'all know me and how clumsy I am, so be surprised that I didn't, like, stumble over those holes. I did feel bad for my teammate, just leaving him in the dark while I had the flashlight. And he's like, Tiffany, wait for me. I can't see. And I'm like, you're on your own.
Oops, sorry. I'm out.
Sorry about the
luck. As you can see, Tiffany's a loyal team member.
Oh, man.
I don't.
How about you,
honestly,
Steve?
I don't know that I've been scared on an investigation before.
You like to scare people on investigations, though.
Oh, yeah. I love to scare you guys. part of it is the adrenaline rush almost. investigating, you know. When it comes down to you know, something happening down the hallway, you know, you hear footsteps or you hear somebody, you know, talking down some creepy hallway or something, I'm one of those people that will run towards it, probably in a bad idea, you know, probably completely unsafe, but I don't know. I'm very interested in documenting those things. And you know, the adrenaline rush is crazy. You know, It's almost like instead of watching a horror movie, being part of a horror movie. And not in a Saw kind of manner, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I might run away from. I might
fairly
skip that
not
part,
run away
you know.
From that.
Yeah.
Would you like to play a game?
No, I'm good. I think I'll just walk out the door right now if you don't mind. Are there any places like on your credible bucket list that you like to check out that you haven't? What are your top three locations on your credible bucket list? Let's make it easy.
Well, I've already visited two. I had a huge bucket list, but I've already visited Salem. I've already visited Little Lizzie Borden House. Gettysburg. I mean, that's easy to get to. And I've already visited the Winchester Mystery House. So New Orleans and Savannah are next on my list.
I tend to have and also shout out to my extremely good friend Dennis, who reminded me that is running towards activity is something we have in common. So if you don't want to die on an investigation, definitely go with Dennis and I, because while we're running towards the axe murderer, you can run away. So
you run the opposite run in the opposite direction.
Yeah. If you see Dennis
and
I running towards something,
start
just
running.
go the opposite way.
Yeah,
the exact opposite way. I very similar, I guess. I don't really have specific buildings that I want to go into. The exception is definitely the Winchester Mystery House. That one sounds like a blast. But I've always wanted to go down to New Orleans and investigate. I feel like that would be an amazing thing. Just in that area, I guess. There just seems to be such a melting pot almost of, I guess, cultures and religions and people and history. It seems like it would be a gigantic hotspot. The other place is definitely Savannah, because I absolutely love Savannah, Georgia. It's super duper pretty there, and they also have just a load of history. In just about any house that you drive by, if you're down in Old Town, it's so cool. So that would top it for me.
So Winchester, Michigan.
Yeah,
House
both those
amazing
places. Man, I really want to go out there and check that place out, just to look at it. Maybe, you know, just to know what Sarah Winchester went through, and you're constantly building and rebuilding the house just to appease the spirits. You know, I mean, that's wow.
Yeah. Well, if anybody that's listening that is friends with me on Facebook, if you go to my pictures, I have an album up of the Winchester Mystery House when I went to go see it. So there's no paranormal pictures, but go check out the pictures because I took as many as I possibly could.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely check them out for sure. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show here. We got about 6 minutes left. So we got a few more questions, and then I'll let you guys go. I noticed you guys do a lot of work with public investigations. What is your favorite part about working with the public during a paranormal investigation?
You said the best part or favorite part?
Yeah, the best part, favorite part, same thing. Whatever we like best about working with the public.
I think it's a lot of fun because you have a lot of people that are coming to these locations. In my mind, that you know, and this is coming from also being part of the board of directors at Hanover Tavern. You have people that haven't been to that location yet, and it's almost like they haven't they haven't fallen in love with the location yet. They haven't, you know. All of these historic locations that we bring up the public to are places that are just amazing. So it's really cool to have people come in and get to see a part of, you know, Henricus or the tavern that they haven't seen before. So it's a lot of fun to work in that aspect. It's also really cool because you get to interact with people that you haven't or don't normally get to. And so they have different approaches and different ideas and different suggestions that we constantly use to refine our team and what we do in an investigation. And then on top of that, we also find members doing some of these public investigations. Some of the
Richard.
Folks on our team. Yeah, some of the folks on our team, you know, we're coming to these public investigations and then you know, just ended up joining the team. So that's also completely awesome.
I think what I love is you have these people that are skeptical and they're like, well, my kid wanted to do this, so I appeased them. And something happens and they'll ask those questions like, well, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. And you're like, it didn't. So you're turning skeptics into believers. And now you've got somebody that's always wanting to come and, you know, find out more, and they've got like a million questions.
Yeah, that's always a fun experience when somebody hears an EVP for the first time and their eyes light up. It's like, that. What was that? No, nobody said that. What the hell? And then they start getting really interested in what we're doing. They're like, oh, well, shit, this is actually real? Yeah. What you paid money for.
It's definitely cool.
Shoot, my first public investigation was at Hanover Tavern with you guys, so, you know.
Yep.
Going back old school.
Taking it way back.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I think that's where we come up with our best material, Ryan.
Yes.
Is at Hanover.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We definitely had some good stuff happen out there. That there and out at Henricus Park.
Yeah.
Some interesting things happen out there. I'll still never forget that time when we were at St. Albans and that little toy fire truck turned on by itself.
I thought Rhonda and I were going to be
all
dance.
Yeah, we all screamed like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But we've got about 90 seconds left, so I just want to thank you guys for coming out and hanging out with me tonight. Angie is had to go upstairs, but, you know, she says thank you for coming on. We're looking forward to hanging out with you guys. Are you coming to Edgewood, Tiffany, on Friday?
Yes, I'll be there. Yep, I'll be there.
Hell yeah, then I'll see you. I will see you Friday.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to hanging out with you guys in September and October. We got some stuff going on out both months, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks again for coming on.
Keep your eyes out for October for sure, because we'll have the ghost walk at Hanover Tavern and the investigation at Hanover Tavern, and then we're going to have the bump event, which is a ghost walk at Henricus and an investigation at Henricus. So be busy, busy month.
Yep. So
we'll keep you busy, that's for
sure. Yep. Make sure y'all keep up with our Facebook page, our Instagram, our Twitter, and our website, because we will post the dates and have the links for the tickets there, so y'all can get your tickets.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ryan. You too.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.